Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day and welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft.
Go figure.
I'm Doss. Take your best and as usual, for your Monday morning, we've got you covered for all your fantasy draft needs. Coming up, we have our Round 11 review. Then later on in the show, it's our waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, Captain Risky, and your listener questions. And back home in the inferior rat, returning from the stunning city of Adelaide and the beautiful streets of Hindley, it's the half marathon man, Stevie Fizz.
Ah, g'day, Dawson. G'day, listeners, of course. And, of course, I'm back in the superior rat. But I do love Adelaide, and it is a great city, and I enjoy it. The only thing I didn't enjoy, Doss, was the dinner establishment you decided to choose for us to have a meal at. Baby Fizz was horrified, of course. The story was great. I applaud you for getting around to making good on your bet. But, my God, it's pretty hard to fuck up Mexican, but you found a way to do so. Well done, Doss.
Yeah, it wasn't as great as I was hoping, to be honest, I must say. Especially when I sort of was like, already had planned to go there, and then I sort of looked up where it was exactly, and then I saw a few, it was about 3 stars on whatever rating app there was, and I was like, oh boy, in for a treat here. But Baby Fizz was not a big fan of those nachos, it's safe to say. Jono Crockett is here as well. What's happening there, JC?
It's a boring life in the Crockett household when there is no alcohol for week 3. Send help. I'm dying here. I need some sort of drug to help me, and coffee just is not working anymore.
Have you noticed a spike in fantasy output from your draft team there with a few more good decisions off the terps there, Johnny?
No, they've all been horrible. All my fantasy teams are shit. Control-Alt-Delete on this season, and let's start it again after the bye rounds.
And the people have spoken. We asked the Draft Doctors family to get behind us and get us all the way to 200 iTunes ratings to get Cam McLaughlin doing a shoey on the live stream. And now, friend of the show, Archie, has let us know it's actually Luke Shuey's birthday today, this day on the Sunday we're recording. What a day to announce that Cam indeed will be doing a Smirnoff Ice and Great Northern Shuey after we've clocked up a monstrous 204 ratings at the time of recording. How are you feeling there, Cam?
Yeah, feeling quite good. And I actually want to introduce you guys to someone a little bit special. It's a little bit aged, a little bit vintage. It goes by the name Adidas Gazelle, and it is the vessel that I have chosen to consume the shoey in. Look at this vintage piece.
Oh, wow.
It's an absolute weapon. And I'm not 100% sure if it's going to be able to hold both drinks at once, but we'll get through them as much as we possibly can.
Awesome stuff there, Cam. We can't wait to see that. We'll probably hear a bit more about that later on. But on to our Round 11 review, where we discuss all the things we noticed from a fantasy perspective this weekend, starting with Reece Shaw versus Richmond on Friday night, Jono.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty good game to watch until about halftime. I can't remember who put the tweet out. It might have been Tom Brown, but he said the Roos have stamped their authority on their game plan with Reece Shaw in a half of football. So well done to whoever tweeted that. It's a half of football. But the Roos, they were playing for the careers as we thought they would. Jack Zeeble playing midfield again. Let's hope that trend continues. But they just outworked and outpressured the Tigers from the get-go. Cam Zerha, he laid 5 tackles just in the first quarter alone, finished with 11 for the game. Trent Dumont, again back in the midfield, laid 8 tackles. It's really what we want to see from North Melbourne, and it kind of makes them fantasy-friendly if they are going to play this high-pressure game, because they were moving the ball quick, getting the ball inside 50 to the likes of Brown, Wood, and the other forwards. So, look, they had 6 Supercoach tons, which is something we probably haven't seen for the entire year from North Melbourne. So if this continues, I'm liking what they're putting up. Jed Goatison, or Jed Anderson, up to 75% time on ground. So maybe Reece Shaw is liking him, maybe a little bit more. Better for Supercoach, went in the 90s again, but only 65 in AFL Fantasy. But and also Trent Cotchin, he started off on like a house on fire and it faded, but he looked pretty good in his first game back from his hammy injury.
Would Jed's TOG be affected by McMillan's injury at all? Like, he obviously went down at half time, and it's not a huge bump.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, he was actually taking CBAs like he has been and all the time.
I know the roles are different.
Oh, due to the injury. Maybe it's something to watch for next week. No, they're not on the bye next week, so something to keep an eye on.
All right, so Jono, if you had to, if you got to hold a fair few keepers in your keeper league, I'm still pretty keen to get around the LDU right now. I think he'll feature more prominently in the midfield going forward, and particularly in Supercoach, even in fantasy, I'd be looking to stash him for that 2020 breakout. Looked pretty good and a bit more confident with the established midfield role in there under Reece Shaw.
Yeah, I think he is a pretty good stash for the years to come. He's a tall midfielder, so he's that prototype of your Bontempelli, Nat 5 type. So once he fills out with a bit more muscle, he could be a very dominant midfielder in the years to come. Whether it's 2020 or 2021, I'm hanging my hat on 2021 because we don't know how the coaching is going to go at the end of this year.
We saw Goldie struggle a bit as well in this one in the fantasy format. Did okay in Supercoach, but is there anything we should look at with the dominant duo of Ivan Soldo and Noah Bolter? Potentially rucks coming up against them. I didn't see what happened in the Hawthorn game a couple of weeks ago, but he's not too bad at the old hit-out Soldo. 28-28 in this one for his just matchup with Goldie, so potentially something to look at.
Yeah, well, they're both athletic ruckmen, so they get around the ground more, but they've just got really good vertical leaps, and they're not going to get outbodied by Goldie because they're coming using their athleticism more than just the body-on-body ruck work. So two different types, and they get around the ground, so they'll get the ball. They can both get to stoppages as well, so plenty of opportunities for hit-out, whether it's Mason Wood or something like that, doing the rucks and maybe forward 50 or something like that.
I think this game is pretty end-to-end most of the game. Like, neither team took over 80 marks. It's probably not a great game for ruckman to get involved in.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, do you reckon still what Cam said last week as well in just really keeping an eye out for how these guys are going in the VFL as well in case Reece Shaw gives them a chance, like the likes of your Aaron Halls and,
mate,
I don't know.
Honestly, I'm just going to pull you boys. I'm pulling you boys up because I listened to the podcast last week and it was, yeah, buy low on Aaron Hall. Mate, Aaron Hall is dust, okay? Just dust. Just forget it. Just move on.
15 disposals, 2 goals in the VFL, so you're probably right there.
Dust.
Well, the Gold Coast Suns couldn't avoid getting absolutely spanked by GWS despite their star off-season recruit there, George Hall and Smith, firing on all cylinders. Oh, wait, no, he's still shit there, Cam.
Yeah, just massively shit. Big congratulations to Stevie Fizz, though, for, I think, a few weeks ago calling out the buy low on Steve Canelio, and he went absolutely bananas this week, notching a 207 Supercoach performance and 192 in the old AFL fantasy, if you don't mind. Massive scores. So congratulations to any owners who were able to get the to new owners who were able to get the trade through. Our second thing that I noticed was just I always have a think about who the waiver of the year is. So the person that probably didn't get drafted and has been an absolute star. And I think at the moment, you've got to put Darcy McPherson up there. He's drafted into 20% of teams, which I think is probably a little bit high. There's probably a lot of keepers in there as well. But listed as a mid-forward, he's actually averaging 88.5 in AFL fantasy, and a little bit less than Supercoach, but he's been pumping out tons for the last couple of weeks. Looks really good, playing entirely in the midfield, not forward at all. So very, very happy for owners who picked him up off the waiver early. And finally, Jeremy Finlayson. He is never, ever, ever going to get the best defender marking him, ever. It's basically like Tom Mack last year, where he had Jesse Hogan taking the bait. He's rushed into the fifth place for the Coleman medal after this week, kicking another bag. And I kind of like him for the next couple of weeks. He's got Adelaide North on deck before the bye. There's no reason why he can't kick another bag in each of those games.
Yeah, it's almost, I kind of flash back to when Cam McCarthy kind of had those few weeks as well back in the day when he really got off the leash, having Cameron sort of as the star there, and he sort of got off the leash. But this is just a consistency thing, and like you said, he's way up there as a star. They've got a couple of really, really fantastic, well, he's a forward back, Finlayson, but yeah, Darcy McPherson and him looking really solid. Darcy Mack, though, he looks like he could be, I don't know, what would he be, close to a top eight or a top six sort of forward looking in some formats, in one of the formats. So awesome waiver wire pickup for those guys. And obviously just Gold Coast now, they sort of put up a bit of a fight early, but they're starting to leak those huge numbers now to midfielders. But that one, that game on the weekend, it was just a lottery with who you chose sort of for your captain there. I mean, obviously, you've only got one of them, but like Lockie Whitfield, obviously, a bit of an injury concern there as well, Cam.
Yeah, so
and the tag.
And the tag, yeah. So it was a bad day for Lockie Whitfield. I'd suggest that, you know, in most formats, if you owned him, you probably put the big C on him, and it's broken a lot of hearts, I think. And he may have broken his collarbone. There's rumours going around that he's done a number on his collarbone, which will keep him out of the side for, well, it can change, I guess. We saw Michael Hibbert go like 2 weeks with a broken collarbone just now. And we've also seen the other end of the spectrum where they go 8 to 10. So I guess we'll wait and see if scans are bad. He managed. Did he come back on after that? I can't remember. I don't think he came back on. Yeah, I'd suggest it's probably going to be a little while.
Well, that'd be concerning for owners there. But Fremantle got a win over Steve's second favourite team, the Pies. And the big fella, you check that one out.
Yeah, look, it was, you know, if I was still a Collingwood supporter, it would have been heartbreaking, but thank Christ I'm not. I just got to see my team, Gold Coast, get their asses handed to them. Look, the big story is probably Dave Mundy, and Fantasy Freako tweeted out, took his least amount of CBAs for the year in 10 out of, I think it was 26 for the match. 44% of the game spent forward, and he obviously dropped a pretty horrendous fantasy score compared to what he'd been doing in recent times. Brayshaw and Conker pretty well in there for most of the match, along with Fife and Walters, the mainstays. So a little bit of a concern there for David Mundy owners, I would suspect, given how nip and tuck the game was, and especially the third. Like, it seemed to me that that move was made after halftime, and that's when Freo really put the move on in that third quarter. They went from way behind to way in front. Interesting thing for me was Collingwood were beaten in contested ball. So despite Brady Grundy appearing to be this dominant ruckman, and he is, like, he's fantastic. Rory Lobb wasn't too bad in there, and the Freo mids were certainly well within their grasp for Collingwood. My question is about Dane Beams, because he's been a mainstay in their midfield for the whole season, and we know Taylor Adams is out, and that's how it is. But Beams has been shit. Like, if we're being critical, like, he's been bad for Collingwood. He takes a lot of CBAs, but he's not doing two things that you'd expect from a quality midfielder. He's not hitting the scoreboard, and he's not tackling. His tackle numbers are the lowest they've ever been in his career, and his score, like his goal kicking, he's hitting the scoreboard the lowest he's ever hit it. So I'm watching this match, and I'm really following Dane Beams because I'm really interested to see what he's doing. He's just hanging out the back of the contest, the clearance, or whatever you want to call it. There's no application. I'm not sure what he's doing. I know it's his worst game of the year, and we can all point to it. But his best games of the year have been not great either. So I always thought of Dane Beams as the guy you want kicking the ball inside 50. I want the score assists. Like, that's his bread and butter, running forward of the ball. But he's not winning the ball. He's not getting those supplemental stats. I'm kind of concerned. And maybe Taylor Adams helps him, but I wouldn't have thought so, because his contested ball is the lowest it's been for some time. He's under 10 a match. I always kind of look at that 10 a match as a sort of thing. He's under 10 a match, where he's always been over 10 contested possessions a match. His pressure rating is like 160th in the league for midfielders, which is obviously abominable. So I would be quite concerned if I was a Dane Beams owner.
Forget Taylor Adams. Braden Sire, 34 disposals in the VFL. Make the switch now, do you reckon? Danny Beams out. Sire in.
Oh, look, I'm not being crazy like that, but I like Braden Sire, but I question what's going to happen at Collingwood. Like, I think Taylor Adams, it seemed like he was going to be back next week. Now they're like, oh, it's another 2 or 3 weeks. Because I was sort of on the, well, Sidebottom's the guy who gets the bump. I know the popular opinion on Twitter is that Adam Treloar gets the bump, whereas I think we've seen that Sidebottom also gets a pretty huge bump and maybe is a bit of an easier piece to move around and get value on than Treloar. But I'm wondering about Dane Beams, because if I have him, I'm starting to get frustrated. But if I'm a non-owner, I'm not even sure there's value to be had in picking him up cheap.
I just want to also touch just quickly on Beams and Treloar. I don't know if it was just the flow of the game, I didn't get to catch this one, or if they were stuck on the bench, but we had 73% time on ground for Treloar and 72% for Beams. Was there anything in that, or was that just part of the game, like the flow?
I'm not sure there was anything in it, but there was long periods between goals in this match, and yeah. Collingwood mids were just getting beaten.
Right. Okay, well, I think we'll move on from that. And Michael Walters, another big ton. And was he, again, just lion's share of the mid-time in there?
Yeah, massive. And to be honest, it was quite interesting because he actually got elbowed in the chops in the warm-up, and he was out of the game for the first half of the first quarter. So it was quite interesting. And he just came on and went ham as usual. Like, my favourite player to watch, and has been for years, as fans of this podcast. Well, we don't have fans. We have listeners. People don't actually like this shit. But they listen irrespective. They will know that I love Michael Walters.
Awesome.
Great to see him beat Bucks. Bucks out.
The Cats got the win as well over the Swans at Cadinia. And the Cats inside a cam. Check that one out.
Yeah, this was actually a really good game of footy to watch. Considering the Cats versus the Suns last week was just about the worst thing that I could ever want to watch ever again. For them to come out against the Swans and put up something that was palatable was really good to see. First thing is George Hewitt off the tag is actually a really good mid, and maybe he shouldn't be a tagger horse. Maybe you should just, you know, keep him out there playing midfield. He did have stints with Tim Kelly and with Mitch Duncan throughout the match, but he was largely let loose and managed to, yeah, as I was saying, have a massive day out. He racked up 29 disposals, totaled 102 AFL Fantasy and 103 Supercoach. And, you know, Josh Kennedy's listed as 3 to 4 weeks away at the moment. And coming in at only 64% owned, he looks to be a great streaming option coming into week one of the buys, even though they have Eagles on deck. Like, you have to think that, you know, if he can put up those numbers against the Cats, he can probably do similar against the Weagles. So spoiler alert for the waiver pickups later in the show. Second point is Chris Scott ever going to learn that Danger's best position is in the fucking midfield? I get the allure of having a guy like Danger or Dusty up forward, but in my opinion, you want to get their hands on the ball as much as possible. The contrast was so stark. Danger started forward, and the Swans got out to a 3-goal lead. Danger goes into the midfield in the last 5 minutes of the first term, and they kick 4 unanswered goals to go into the quarter-time break ahead. Like, it's just so... the juxtaposition is so severe. I just don't know why anyone would want to keep their best ball winner off the ball. Stop it.
Didn't get a chance to catch this one, Cam. Did Rhino Clark have a big tagging role again this week? He put up some huge numbers in both formats.
Did he? You'll have to remind me what those numbers were, Dossie.
I think it was around 27 fantasy and 12 Supercoach.
Massive, I thought so. Ryan Clark to the Neefle next week.
Just a question for all of you, I think. Is it actually a buy low time for Isaac Heaney right now? Or I mean, do we see a solid scoring pathway back for the blonde bombshell? Or, I mean, are we not really interested for the rest of the year here? Is there something going on, niggling injury? We've heard about it, the ankle a little bit. The role consistently a bit forward. We see George Hewitt's taking up those midfield times now with Josh Kennedy out. Oh, is anyone interested in buying low if you can on Isaac Heaney?
Is he actually very good? Like,
yeah, he is. And I saw that post on Twitter today and I thought, I think that's a bad take. I understand the idea of buying low, and I think if you wanted to, you can buy low. My question is, what do you expect from Sydney to turn around what they're doing right now? My thoughts are that Sydney are performing really well. I really think they're getting the best out of what they got. But I don't think they're a great team. And I think if you're switching time between the midfield and a forward role, you are going to battle for consistency. So I think you'll get his good weeks and I think you'll get his bad weeks. And the problem with buying a player like Isaac Heaney is you're always going to be paying a premium. Now, maybe that's not going to happen in your league and maybe you can buy him low. I'm not sure what that's going to cost you. But I'd be wary.
Yeah. I'm still looking very much to bring Jordan Dawson in as many keeper leagues as possible. That kid's aged yet and still not scoring the huge things that I think he'll be able to go to at some point.
And I would say if you're buying Isaac Heaney, be wary of when your finals are, because I know finals start, like Jono, our finals start round 19 through 21. They're playing Geelong and GWS in round 19 and 21. I don't really want to borrow that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Hey, JC, you checked out the Brisbane Hawthorn game, and Brisbane defenders didn't fire like I may have thought there, but it was the dominant duo of Jared Lyons and Louis Taylor leading the Lions to victory.
How much did you drink on Saturday night? Because Harris Andrews absolutely smashed it. Darcy Gardner absolutely smashed it. Daniel Rich did pretty well. Alex Witherden shit the bed. But that's okay. You almost got there, Dossie. On Friday, I put up on the late week pickup Benny Keys and Reece Matheson, who would get that midfield role, and I would say it's a split decision. Both scored in the 70s in Supercoach and in the 50s in AFL Fantasy. Cam Rayner certainly did not get any sort of midfield time, so I'm still weary on who gets that bump next week for Keys or Matheson. It looked like, I think, Matheson might get the nod because he was taking the CBAs, whereas Benny Keys was in and around stoppages around the grounds. We all thought Chad Wingard was going to be a top 10 forward this year, but the hammy has gone ping yet again. Cam will write it up in the injury report for this week and let us know exactly how long, but it's not too good for if you're a Wingard owner, because he's been, I think it's his fourth soft tissue injury this year, so the Hawks are on the bye this week, so he'll miss out. But yeah, Dossie, that's all I've got. And the defenders, as I said, absolutely brained it, which is what we noticed against the Hawks, that stream those key defenders, because Harris Andrews and Gardner just racking up, taking intercept marks left, right and centre on Saturday night.
Well, I was doing it from the fantasy perspective to give the listeners a nice balance there. And the Supercoach, they did brain it, but fantasy, not so much. So just to let you know that, Johnny. But hey, Archie Smith, the return of him, is this now the true death of Steph Martin for the fantasy format? Because he still did okay in Supercoach. But Steve, you were pretty keen a couple of weeks ago maybe buying low on Steph Martin. But is there any concern now with Archie Smith getting a fair few hit-outs in this one?
No, I'd almost go quite the other way, to be honest, because when Brisbane got back on top of the game, it was when Steph was in the middle. So I'd look there. And, yeah, key defenders against Hawthorn has been a thing for over a year. So you can shove your AFL fantasy up your clacker there, Doss. I don't know, mate. 78 for Darcy Gardner. What did Witherden get? Oh, yeah. Oh, no, let me scroll down the page here. Oh, 51. Oh, yeah. 51. Oh, well, yeah.
It was a Captain Risky that I offered last week. It was Risky.
Captain Risky, Jesus.
It was my Captain Risky. But we'll move on pretty quickly, I think, to the next matchup. And it was the Crows escaping with a narrow W in Darwin. And what did you see there, Stevie?
Well, it was interesting because Jono, like behind the scenes for the listeners, Jono's been saying, please stop giving me Melbourne matches. So I thought I'll take the Melbourne match, and I thought it was a very entertaining match to watch, quite frankly. Very end-to-end stuff, a lot of goals. Jono, I'm not sure what sort of football you enjoy, but I enjoy some free-flowing action up in the top end, if you don't mind. A few big things. Obviously, Sloan got injured. Jono, would you like to inform us more about that since he was your captain in our home league?
Yeah, so it seems he's done a hamstring injury, and knowing Adelaide, they've come out and said he'll be 1 week, but their medical team is like Mr. Magoo and probably missed the rest of the year with a hamstring, so who the hell knows?
Well, do you think it's interesting because they've got the bye in round 14, so if he's 1 week, they're going to say he's going to come back, like miss a week, play a week, miss a week? Like,
he's missing 2 weeks.
To me, that just seems like just sit him up. That's tough for Sloan owners if you're playing the buys.
Yeah, I'm one of them. And I've got Matt Crouch, who's probably out for the rest of the year as well. So,
do you sell or what? I mean, what do you do?
Oh, I'll have to look at my buy structure. And
No, I mean, not you personally, but I mean, like, if you're a Sloan owner, what do you think's the right course of action? I mean, do you sell to get through the buys or do you buy if you're on top of the ladder? Or
He's definitely a hold. He's having a massive year. Harms was tagging him, but he was still scoring pretty freely, so he's certainly a hold because he's having a great year.
Yeah, okay. It's a tough situation, though.
It is.
Mean, if you need to make up the wins, I'd almost say you'd have to sell in a sense.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough one. I don't know what you do.
Yeah, 6-1 half the other, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends on the offers. So, look, Greenwood, CY. Brad Crouch probably got the bump, but we'd hope that Matt Crouch will be back next year. Do we know?
Next week.
As Jono said, yeah, it's a week, it's a week, it's a week every week. Let's hope for our fantasy owner's sake Matt Crouch is back. It will be interesting to see what they do. To me, it didn't look super serious because they were testing him to get him back on. So I was kind of hopeful that it was one of those hamstring awareness jobs as opposed to just a string where he's going to miss some time. Another interesting thing I noticed in the game, Nathan Jones was deployed across half back. We know Christian Salem was laid out again with an illness, but it was actually Nathan Jones' second best scorer of the year, which I found pretty interesting. He is historically one of the better ball users in the Melbourne team. So if he's actually able to find space, it's probably a good thing for Nathan Jones. I would have thought it was a good thing for Melbourne, but the flow-on effect from that was that Angus Brayshaw was back in the guts, took 22 CBAs, equal high for the match, scored the 91 in both formats, actually. And that's actually pretty interesting to me because that continues to keep him somewhat buried from your fantasy owners. Like, once someone scores 120 in a new role, well, they know that's happened, don't they? 91 still keeps them sort of married into that under 100 area. So if you wanted to buy low on Angus Brayshaw, now is absolutely the time to do it. I would still be a little bit cagey. I didn't think he looked great in this match. He was fumbly. He still plotted around the contest a little bit. And the other thing that I want to say about it is, again, Melbourne's draw over the fantasy finals, not super great. Round 20, you got Richmond, which can be good for midfielders. Round 21, you got Collingwood. And round 22, you got Sydney, who are always liable to tag anyone in good form. So I would be pretty cagey about my offers for Angus Brayshaw. I'm not going to go offer on him, to be honest, because I don't really love it. So I'd be cagey on that. And the other thing I noticed was Bryce Gibbs was actually deployed as a tagger / run with in the second half on Clayton Oliver and actually did a pretty good job. I don't know what you do with Bryce Gibbs if you're an owner. I've got him in the keeper league. I find it hard to believe you can get much value for him. Maybe you try to package him up with someone else and get a deal, but I'm not sure anyone's willing to take a roll of the dice with him. Maybe you just bench him for the time being, or if you're in a shallow league, you probably don't even own him and you just drop him.
Yeah, fall from grace from old Brycey. But we saw Brad Crouch actually score well in both formats this week, which is something you guys have been sort of keeping track of.
Because he was the main midfielder.
Yeah, no, look, and that's right. He did score well. Kick three goals, though. That'll tend to help out a little bit.
Certainly. Well, we'll get over to China now for that exhilarating game, the St Kilda Port Adelaide one, Cam.
How did you say that with a straight face?
Sorry, actually, just on Bryce Gibbs, on Brad Crouch, they were deploying him forward in the first half, like before Sloane went down. So they were pretty comfortable to move him around quite a lot. And then, obviously, with the injury, got a little bit more midfield, inside midfield time.
And actually, just on Bryce Gibbs, victory lap for old Cam, he picked this pre-season. There's audio.
So that'd be the one fucking thing you got right.
That's right. So, Shanghai, the Saints have had just about the absolute worst Shanghai experience possible. Firstly, as well reported, but a bunch of their players ordered the wrong Kung Pao chicken, came down with a bad bout of gastro, resulting in them needing to fly over more players, and then their skipper, Jaron Geary, who inspirationally made a comeback from what has to be the world's worst corky, looks to have suffered a broken leg. He's gone straight to hospital in Shanghai. All I can say is, like, imagine having to hop on a 10.5-hour flight halfway around the fucking world with a broken leg. Cannot, Steve. What's up?
You say they've had the worst experience, and yet, what was the Saints' total score for this match?
The Saints' total score for this match was 69.
Nice.
But I have no idea why the AFL continues to invest in this experiment. It's not even a good advertisement for the game. It's basically just seeing Port Adelaide beat up on shit teams. The Saints are, like, really bad. I mean, there was, like, a patch of three games at the start of the year where everyone was sort of like, maybe they're going to be middle of the table this year, but they are just putting in bad performance after bad performance and sliding down the ladder faster than you go from square 99 on snakes and ladders to square one. The only good news for St Kilda is actually that Hannah's made his return in the VFL and didn't look horrible. The footage was actually pretty good. He got 24 possessions in three quarters, not too bad.
19 handballs, though.
Yeah, 19 Hannibals. Hannibals?
Keep moving.
All right. From a Port perspective, so something that we mentioned pre-season, Dan Houston actually got some midfield time. So we kind of thought that he'd get the Jared Pollock midfield time, and he finally got in there today, and he was pretty good. Like, he ended up with 28 disposals for 90 AFL Fantasy and 98 Supercoach. Pretty darn handy. I don't think that's going to continue. They'll start to see Rockcliffe and Wines come back after the bye, but still interesting for maybe a keeper selection to see that he does have the tank to run through the midfield.
Yeah, awesome. And we know that Rosie is indeed the weapon, but far out, how about Xavier Dersma this year? He's been probably even more serviceable for us as a reliable option down back. And I saw that stat the other day. I think I showed you guys how he's sitting third overall for total distance covered this year. So, like, he is just a running machine. And that's a great thing, in, I think, in the new sort of system. I mean, you'd obviously be wary going forward that maybe he slows down as the year goes on as a rookie. But, man, putting up some big numbers for us, and that would have been an awesome pickup if you got him off the wire. And it was another rancid display from the Blues there as the Dons scored a plenty at the MCG, Steve.
Yeah, there's not much worse than going into your Sunday knowing that you're cooked in your home league. And my opponent just had bang a week, just like monster week. So power to them. But having to watch a shit show like this game, at one point, I forget who the commentator was, it said, oh, they play a similar brand of footy. I was like, yeah, that brand is just shit. That is what I'm watching. It's just total shit. So wasn't super, super great game to watch. And there wasn't, I didn't think there was, personally, there was heaps to take away, especially given the conditions of the match. But I thought if you had Essendon players, Darcy Parrish and Kyle Langford continue to be nice, especially Kyle Langford, finished with 69 Dream Team points. Obviously a lot more effective in Supercoach with a 97. But with Devon Smith and Stringer and Scheel out just for this week, those sort of players tend to be interesting. I thought it was interesting that Essendon ran a tag, which is something they don't often do. And I think maybe if I was a Crips owner, I'd be a little bit worried because he's obviously the main man at Carlton and the guy capable of turning the game on its head, probably the best player in the game. And he was held to 11 disposals. He did lay 8 tackles. What a machine. But if a team like Essendon, who don't usually tag, and maybe that's just a symptom of Scheel being out, they had the midfield role there to do it. But if a team like Essendon don't do it and they did it, I'd be a little bit concerned if I was a Crips owner going forward. I'm not sure I'd have the stones to trade him, but if I was looking at that sort of thing, I'd be damn well wanting a monster offer. Ed Curnow, all the midfield time in the world because he was tagging Zeret. Zeret still managed the Dream Team ton because he's just a superstar. But nice to see Ed Curnow back in the midfield. Cunningham for Carlton. I know we've had a lot of questions about David Cunningham. I just think he's a total crab. He's pretty fucking bad with the ball in hand. Yes, he can do things. He had 21 disposals, but I mean, if I was Essendon, I'd let him have the ball because you know you're getting the next one after him. So I'd be a little bit cagey there. And it's pretty amazing that liking Israel Folau's homophobic Instagram post is now the second most offensive thing Matt Kennedy's done after this match. What a shit show. I can't believe Carlton fans wanted him in. There can't be much left of his career.
Yeah, it's not looking too good. But I do want to buy my Paddy Dow stocks back. He looked pretty good in this one there. What do you got to say, Ken?
Yeah, just on the Crips thing. So 2 weeks ago, GWS complete. Look, Matt DeBoer, who's been amazing this year on the tag, just completely tagged him out of the game. And I think that's the first time that we've seen like a very, 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 very good tag on Crips. And you look at the overall score from Carlton in that game, and they ended up on 45 to GWS's 138. And then today, again, 33 to 74. He's a one-man team, and you take him out of the team, there's no team, right? It's just that rebuild is all sorts of wrong.
And you're right, Cam, but not everyone can. Like, I think Cripps is that good that I don't think it's, like, I think it's going to take your very best tagger putting in their very best performance to keep him down.
Today it was Dylan Clark, though. Like, he's
And that's fine. Like, it happens. It was a shitty, wet weather game. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not baking Crips, but I'd be damn worried if I was going forward because I think maybe teams will just go, we're going to give you our very best.
Yeah.
We saw in this game as well, Andy McGrath drop. I mean, it is Carlton, I understand, but he dropped a ton in both formats, and he only had the nice amount of time on ground as well. What was going on there? Did he have a nice role there, Steve?
Oh, look, he was fine. He just delivered some really nice balls inside 50. Everything was pretty effective. 32 disposals, you can't ignore it.
Sorry, Steve. Sorry. He had a bloody massive final quarter. So in the AFL fantasy format, he went from 50... what do we got here? It's like 54 to 106 in the final quarter.
Yeah, I'm not super blown away. Like, yes, it's a good score, but it's one of those ones that doesn't blow me away.
Yeah, I think it's always been the thing with who I deemed Andy McGhost. He appears and disappears quarter by corner. He's that sort of player, I think, and this is sort of that sort of game where he can do that.
Does nice things. He does nice things, but to me, he's not someone I'm going out there chasing. Yeah. Like Statesman posted his keeper team the other day, and he had Andy McGrath as like this locked in guy, and I'm going, fucking why? Like, what does he do that makes you go, I got to get this guy? And you look at Essendon's midfield, who's about to leave it? No one. So I don't know.
Imagine the McCluggo in there right now. It would be a fantasy feast. Okay, finally, we've got the Bulldogs and West Coast game over in WA, and you've been checking that one out, Jono. I think it's just about to finish.
Just finished an honourable loss to the Dogs by 10 goals, so well done over there. That's actually a win for the Dogs if they can get within 10 goals of West Coast and Perth. No, look, the Doggies were actually pretty good in the first half, but then just decided to get on the plane and enjoy the bye week this week, and it was just one-way traffic after that. Mark Hutchings actually went to Lockie Hunter and shut him down. He's been pretty creative on the wide-open Optus Stadium there, Optus Oval, whatever it's called. They shut him down after half-time because the Doggies were just using him outside on the wing there. Jack Redden didn't get his 13 tackles, so didn't score quite as well in Supercoach, only the 44, but did all right in AFL Fantasy with 82. It looks like he went missing in that second quarter. I don't think he even touched the ball there, so it looks like he's going to be reliant on tackles to build his score in Supercoach. It was a pretty free-flowing game, so not a lot of tackles in this game. We didn't see Yo as well get his 30 tackles as well to boost his score. Just a lovely 88 and 80 there, but Jack Darling, he loves playing the Western Bulldogs. Kicked 6 snags. You'd be pretty happy with him. Steve, I know you were a Kennedy owner at some stage, but you've just punted all key forwards, and that's a good thing because he just got junk time goals today and in this game. So key forwards is a big no, and just get those mid forwards and seem to be scoring all right this year.
Well, it's interesting you say that, given Jack Darling just snagged 6.
I'd call him a mid-size forward, not a key forward.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
We saw the mid-year draft recruit Ryan Gardner play up forward. He actually, I mean, he didn't, obviously he's not an option for us. He's more of an off-brand guy, but like I'm talking about, did it help their structure, Jono? And do you see anything different there that we can look at?
How can I have to wait till after the bye? I mean, that back six of West Coast is pretty structured up. So he did an okay job, I thought, presented well. But I want to see him after the byes and see how he actually play him. I'm not sure who Bulldogs have after the bye, but yeah, against a solid West Coast defence, he might be something to keep an eye on because he can take a pretty good contested mark.
Alrighty, well, we've still got our waiver wire pickups trade of the week and a captain risky to come, as well as listener questions. But Jono, the fans got in all the ratings we needed for the hashtag Shuey for Cam, and there's been a bombardment of reviews left up there as well.
Yeah, massive thanks to all the people out there who did get us over that 200 and make Cam do that Shuey. But there is one from last week. We had to wait for the big fella to get back on the show, and it's from Mushtaq from rural Pakistan. He gives it 5 stars. He loves the show. And he goes, I used to really like this podcast, but now I can't stop calling everyone a jobber. Best mate, he's a jobber. My boss, jobber. Wife, definitely a jobber. Now I'm unemployed and sleep on the couch. By the way, any chance we can get a guest appearance from Mrs. Fizz so we can learn what it's like to live with the hashtag big fella? And we do have a special guest for you, Mushtaq, from rural Pakistan, the very lovely Mrs. Fizz on the show. How are you, Mrs. Fizz?
I'm all right. And surprised to be called on.
No, we just got to quickly ask you what it is like to live with the big fellow and how tolerable is he really in real life?
It's like I have 2 children that don't pick up after themselves. But he does all the cooking, so that's good.
Oh, Chef Fizz.
You can say what you want. It's all right. They already know I'm a cunt.
So,
yep.
Now, you must have been proud he finished that half marathon and looking forward to coming back to sunny Melbourne in October when he does the full marathon.
Yeah, I just don't look forward to the complaining after the runs when we get to the big ones.
But what else is new? He's always a complainer.
I think the best thing here is we can basically
I think there'll be a lot of editing.
We can say whatever we want. He can't hear a fucking thing.
That is true. That is true.
This is fantastic. No.
We do thank you, Mrs. Fizz, and there you are, Mushtaq. A little insight into the household of the Fizzes. So thank you, Mrs. Fizz.
No problem.
We've got a few more reviews to read out here. It's from Chumbucket69. 5 stars. What a story. Loved it. That should be covered, comma there. Loved it, man. That absolutely rolled me. Fantasy advice is horrible, but your children's stories are elite. Go figure. And from Demand987, Cam does a Luke Shuey. Wow, the Bailey the Bulldog story was out of the box. Didn't think you had it in you. Definitely added a star to your rating. Also, great idea using the half marathon shoe. Keep up the good work.
Awesome stuff from the listeners there. And I think one of the names you just said of one of the users was Demand. So that might lead us into our waiver wire pickups because there is a man called Demand who is in high demand as well on the waiver. So we'll be checking them out. Under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy is the way we go. And if you're in a shallower league, there's probably some better options out there. And we also remind you always to keep checking who people are dropping in case you can snag a gem. So Cam, who's your waiver wire pickups this week?
Oh, since you've used the segue so well with Demand, let's start with Talon Demand. But, you know, I was doing my research this week and I kept on finding people that were, you know, good, but on the buy next week. And it's sort of like, you know, maybe if you're streaming them, you know, it may not be worth it. But Taylor Demand, 45% owned, as I was saying, free on the buy next week, 3-round average of 83. Mr. Lipinski had another good game today, hitting over 81, only owned in 54% of teams, also on the buy next week. Carl Amon with Rockcliffe and Wines out, probably worth it. But again, on the buy next week, 3-game average of 93.7, only owned in 47% of leagues. So then, like, I actually found it really hard to find people that weren't on the buy next week. So it's really Louis Taylor at 29%, and that's pretty stank from my perspective. But played exclusively on the left wing and actually looked okay. Dropped 108 AFL Fantasy, 122 Supercoach. Listed as a forward, so you could do a lot worse with a Specky. And then this is two for the team sheets. Have a look for Stephen May. He had a really good return game in the VFL, only in 39% of teams at the moment. He's actually pretty handy for Supercoach leagues. And secondly, Dick Douglas. Could be a little bit too early, but he had a day out in the Sandfall as well. He's got a massive history of 80-plus averages, only owned by 29%.
Nice one, Cam. And Jono, what have you got for us?
Yeah, seeing it is the buy rounds, I don't really look to use my waiver wires through them. It's more trying to fill a team, get rid of the crap and just bring in more crap just to try and get as many players on field as possible. But just a couple of matchups for this week. You've got Cam Zerha at 28% versus the Gold Coast, and you've got Mason Wood at 37% also against the Gold Coast. And for some reason, I've got Ben Reid at 21%, who could be a nice little streamer this week as well. So they're just the three I've got. So again, buy rounds makes it a bit harder for pickups.
Alrighty, Stevie, what have you got?
Yeah, I actually really like Louis Taylor at 29%. Playing Carlton this week, I think that is super. And you've got Jared Berry out of the team for 6 to 8 weeks. Like that, to me, that sounds great. And we know he's been fantasy relevant in the past. I know Brisbane are a team on the up. I'm pretty keen on that. Jono, I'm with you on Cam Zerha. 11 tackles, although only as many disposals. So I'm a little bit nervous about that, especially the fact that Sean Higgins was out this week. So if he comes back, it's pretty hard to get super excited about that. Carl Amon, I think, is very interesting. I know Port have got some guys out, and I'll talk about that in my buy.
Porter on the buy.
Yeah, I know that. I talk about it in my trade of the week. I don't mind a little bit of Andrew Brayshaw, 54% ownership. He did get a bit of a CBA bump, a little bit of a TOG bump. He's been pretty bad, and I'm certainly looking forward to him as a third-year breakout next year. Again, I will be looking at Jordan Gallucci. It's his fourth-year breakout next year, but he certainly impressed me from the Crows' first-round talent. And two players who are a bit of a matchup. Sorry, I should say three players who are a bit of a matchup option. GWS defenders, I think, are a bit of a matchup option this week. I'm talking Phil Davis and co, who are very lowly owned. Brody Majacek, he is 71% owned, but as Jono mentioned, Ben Reid, we know key defenders against Melbourne has been a massive thing of recent weeks. And Baelish Fritsch, 53% ownership, has got the defender status in some formats. Mate, if you watch that game, his peg is just elite. The daisy cutters he was sending through were amazing. And if I was Melbourne, I would be taking serious note of that. They're playing Collingwood this week, defenders against Collingwood. We've said it for years, they rake.
Actually, one I forgot as well. I mentioned earlier at the top of the show, George Hewitt, somehow 64% owned. Get on it.
Well, he's only a midfielder. He didn't exactly set the world. He started amazingly and cooled off.
Yeah, but I mean, as a streamer across the buys.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And you're still super low on Georgie Hewitt, Steve. What's your problem?
I've been a George Hewitt truther since before you were born, Doss. Oh, I'm sorry. Not before you were born, because you live in your line, you're like 35 years old. Just like that jumper.
The jumper remains fire as it was last time I was wearing it.
Hey, Doss, if we got to set a new goal, right? And we are going to auction off that jumper.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
300 by the end of the season.
I might need to give it a wash. I've been wearing it quite a bit, as you have pointed out pre-show. I've got a couple of options as well for the streamers, just from Collingwood. Will Hoskin-Elliott, very under-owned at the moment, 52%. What did you see in his role there in the Collingwood game, Steve, that I missed that one?
A lot of forward time, but a lot of wing time. I find it hard to believe the wing's not his best role, but I think in that team, especially when you consider Taylor Adams is going to come back moving forward, that's going to push someone out onto the wing. So I'm hard-pressed to be a big fan, but he might be okay for a couple of weeks.
And just another streaming option. I've kept flagging it, and I mean, he's putting up okay numbers down back. Is Levi Greenwood, still very under-owned. He's actually, this is for fantasy, he's putting up pretty okay numbers like back there, especially through the buys as a streamer.
He's fine, and he's one of those guys who gets the most out of himself. He'll find space, so he'll take marks, and when he's in close, he can lay a tackle, so he'll get tackles. But if I was looking for someone to get me 90+, it's not Levi Greenwood. If I was looking for someone to get me 70 to 90, then that's fine. I'm okay with that. And that's going to be good over the buys.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we'll get to the trade of the week with Steve.
Yeah, I've got two, and I'm really remiss to say one of them, because I know Jono, my compatriot, is in a home league and he's definitely looking for a forward. So I don't want to give him any options. The first one is Angus Brayshaw. He was certainly back in the midfield mix. Did look a little bit fumbly, so I think he's a super buy low if you're inclined to roll the dice, as I mentioned before. But the other one's Justin Westhoff, and we were pretty low on him coming into the season, but I think it's really time now, and all it comes down to is Charlie Dixon is coming back very soon. Porter on bye this week, so if your owner is interested in shipping someone who's on bye and not taking that donut, I think he's really interesting. If Westhoff gets freed up and gets that wing floating role that he sometimes had, I don't think he's going to get that ruck role back. Like, it doesn't seem that's happening without an injury, so I'm not expecting him to average 100, but I think he can average close to 90 in the floating role.
Yeah, so time to get Westhoff and potentially Gussie Brayshaw. I really like that point that you sort of made. And, you know, if you're just looking at the scores, and I didn't, as you may have gathered, didn't get a lot of chance to watch the footy this weekend. And seeing the score, I'm like, oh, was he back in the role? It's a question. You don't know. Maybe it's time to throw an offer out there. You said he's back in that really good role and, you know, just didn't put up a huge score. So we think it might be coming pretty soon. So it's good to say that.
Actually, it's interesting. If you were in a league where you wanted a defender, Nathan Jones might, like, going forward, not obviously this week, but if you were, say, in Ultimate Footy, getting a defender like Nathan Jones, like, he could play the next 3 weeks there. We don't know. Obviously, with Salem out, it's a bit of a risk.
Yeah. I just reminded me with defenders. We saw, I don't think we mentioned it on the Fremantle game, but Connor Blakely, just could we quickly touch on him? He was back to scoring well.
Back.
He looked okay.
He's against Collingwood. Defenders against Collingwood.
Okay. Not much to look into then. Okay, on to Captain Risky with Jono. And this is a captain option outside the obvious pick. So who's your Captain Risky pick this round, Jono?
Well, with the two big guns out of the midfield with injuries and probably out for the rest of the year, the number one midfielder is Brad Crouch at the Adelaide Crows. It's Captain Risky because they're up against the mighty GWS and Matty DeBoer. So, hey, put the big captaincy on if you want to see your boy get tagged into dust this week. But Brad Crouch does average pretty well against GWS. He averages 122 in Supercoach and 115 in AFL Fantasy. So if you're looking for a big score, roll the dice, but expect the big tag coming his way.
Dossie, do you think that is risky enough, mate? Because I think someone mentioned Brad Crouch last week and you said it wasn't very risky.
I did, because he is averaging, like, I don't know, what's the numbers in his last three or five, Jono? He would be putting out monster numbers. But I do agree, the DeBoer tag does put a little thing on it, though, there, Cam. So it is a little bit more
hence
risky.
Hence why it is so
week.
Risky. Yes, Cam, that's why it's risky.
All right.
Stevie is back. And if you do want more captain options, check out the Draft Doctor's website to find the Statesman Skippers article. You can also find Cam's injury report. There's going to be a lot to digest this week in the injury report. We've got a dozen deals as well by Sam Porter. And of course, Jono's late week pickups all on the Draft Doctor's website. That's at thedraftdoctors.com.au. And you can check out our merch there as well. We've got some t-shirts up there, so grab yourself one of those. We'll get on to some questions from the social media, and you can get us at...
Doss, I've had this one on my hat for a few weeks, but I've got a Stremple.
Oh.
And I can't let it go anymore because I'll probably forget about it sooner or later. But I don't watch much television, as Jono can attest. I'm not a big television fan. I watch my South Park and that's about it. But there is one other show that I watch religiously with Mrs. Fizz, and I've got a Stremple, the bastard. It's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think it's fucking great. But I got a Stremple it, and I understand where... Because they got cancelled like a little while ago, and then they got picked up by someone else. And I went, why would you cancel it? I understand why they cancelled it now. Because they made the greatest faux pas in sitcom history. They got the man and the woman together. And it sent the show down the goddamn toilet. Some other company... TV station, whatever, picked it up. The show's fucking crap. You can't watch it anymore. Because Amy and Jake, I don't want to watch this shit. It's fucking terrible. It used to be funny. Now it's not. Mrs. Fizz is leaning on my shoulder.
See what I have to live with?
Spoiler alert. Steve, I haven't watched the new seasons yet. Thanks for telling me.
Well, what's going on? No. What's going on?
Spoiler alert, it never was actually good in the first place.
Oh! Wrong take. Get off the show. You're off the show.
Wrong take. Wait. Wrong jumper.
So, in Doss's eyes, it's worse than Bailey Williams. How'd Bailey go today? Actually, how'd Ryan Clark go this week?
Yeah, Rhino had a tough week at the office. I will admit
didn't
that.
Have a great one, did he? The show's become Ryan Clark.
Started I don't know
so
how
much
he...
promise.
I don't know how I adopted him, though. He was Statesman's boy, and somehow I became defending Statesman, and now I'm stuck with Clarko in my corner.
You know what the problem is? I just want to break it down. The problem with you, and also Statesman, is that you look at these guys and you go, these guys are actually good players. I don't give a shit, right? They need to actually be able to score. That's all that matters. Like, because we've seen good players not be fantasy players time and time again, and that happens across the board. Like, you can be a fantastic football player. I don't want to borrow of you. Like, look at Mason Redmond. He's fine. He's fine, right? He could play 200 games. But is he going to be a fantasy player? Probably not.
Yeah. He tricked me. Like, he has tricked me, old Redmond. He's definitely just the good player rather than the good fantasy player at the moment. All right, well, should I get on some questions from the listeners after we heard a bit about Brooklyn Nine-Nine, one of the worst shows on television at the moment? This one's from AJS Hawker. I'm just glad the cricket's on. Hashtag couldn't win a one-horse race.
Yep, I'm with him.
Cricket's fucking shit. Why would anyone watch fucking cricket?
Because it's the World Cup.
Who gives a shit? Hey, this is the interesting thing about that, is they're playing the form of cricket that it, no one gives a fuck about.
Yeah, but Afghanistan's playing.
Yeah, but...
watch out. It's good. It's, get my back.
It's like watching Australia play the Solomon Islands in the soccer. Hey, did we lose to them last time?
No, we won 34-0.
There you
so,
go.
Cricket is the Brooklyn Nine-Nine of sports. All right, Caleb St. Aether says, any players we could trade for low who could turn their seasons around with role change slash other players coming back? Thinking Hoff because of Dixon, we have already flagged that, and Heaney with Kennedy out, etc.
I think we flagged a lot of it.
I find it hard to get on board with Heaney. The thing with players coming back is that's generally going to reduce someone's opportunity. I know in Hoff's case it's a bit unique. So I would maybe look for players where there's someone going out, if that makes sense. Like, I'd look at Essendon pretty strongly, especially like if you're an AFL fantasy player. Kyle Langford's really hasn't scored particularly well. I know he's been really good for Supercoach. But that might be the sort of situation I might look at.
And Caleb also asks, would you trade Witherden for McRae?
Let's do it, Steve. On air, home league trade. Witherden for McRae. I'll do it.
I might not do that. I might be looking at... Look, McRae's not as bad in Supercoach as he is in Dream Team, but he's not that bad.
Before we get on to the next question, Cam, I'd wonder if you can quickly look up the scores from your trade with Statesman last week in the Keeper League and see who came out on top on week one while we get to this next question. So Russ asks, Neil for the C versus Carlton next week, and also has Cam picked out his footwear, which we have seen the shoe, and it is a delightful shoe. I do.
Can you describe the shoe? Can you describe the shoe? Because I don't think the people got the description of the shoe.
Slightly.
You need
faded.
To describe it for them. It's not a visual medium, the podcast.
So it's slightly faded, coffee stained, no sole on the inside, much like Steve. That's about it. That's all I've got.
It is green.
What colour is it? It's green.
It's the J. Peterman catalogue. It's a green shoe. Yes.
Three right, stripes.
The final Giselle question
print
here
down the side
comes from Jonty.
That was the shittest description. I asked for a description. Well,
it's Adidas. I mean,
you said
yeah,
it's an
asshole
of a shoe. That's what you said.
Of course it's got three stripes. It's Adidas, right?
You gave nothing, Cam. You gave fucking
God.
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
But when is the stream happening, by the way?
So I'm thinking Friday because I don't think I want to drink that during the week. So we'll go with Friday evening.
Yeah, that's a fair call. Sorry, we didn't answer Russ's question. Neil for the C versus Carlton this week. What do you think?
Depends if Ed Kerner gets to him, but yes.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right, and Jonty, is Cripps a buy low option or just steer clear? And I think this is going to be coming back to what Steve was saying earlier. You can't really buy low on a guy like Cripps because they're going to want, the owner is going to want way too much in terms of a return, you would think.
But that's something right now, like, if you're a Sloan owner and needs to win over the buys, you can offer up Sloan and something, make a deal out of that way if people want to entertain the idea. If you're making a nice package deal where Sloan's got an injured, you might be sitting pretty in your league, who and as a Cripps owner, you might go for Sloan and some steak knives to bump the offer up to make it tempting.
I find it I understand the question, and I think it's really valid. If you're ever going to buy low on a primo, you really need to pick your spots. Cripps is obviously a premium player. I would be cagey about giving up too much, but I reckon in some leagues you're going to get through pretty nicely. And that's all about your home league. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it might not happen in my league, but it might be able to happen in your league.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Cam, have you got the update for... Last week, we mentioned a Keeper League trade that actually went through with the Statesman and Cam. We got the votes in from the listeners, from the Twitter following, and the results were overwhelming. So we went out to the Twitter sphere and asked who won, who, in inverted commas, who won the trade. We know people don't like to talk about winning trades. You know, it's a long-term thing, especially in a Keeper League. But who won the trade? Cam.
So
Cam.
It's got. I mean, so it was basically Zeeble, Higgins... And who else was it?
So Cam, you got Josh Kelly, Parfitt, Jack Higgins, and Sydney Stack. And the Statesman got Dom Sheed, Sean Higgins, Mitch Robinson, and Jack Zeeble. And it was an overwhelming 74% in favour of Cam winning the trade, and that the Statesman has indeed lost it.
Yeah, and it actually probably came out better for me this week. Even Jack Higgins pulled in a 44, but Josh Kelly pulled in 140. Stack with an 89 and Parfitt with an 88. I think the highest score from Statesman's boys was 104. Feel pretty good. Pretty good.
We also have a question from Facebook, and long time, I don't want to say fan because it makes them seem like they like the show, but long-time follower of the show, Scott Warwick, asked, why do we call it a pair of pants?
Got two legs.
There you go, Jono, shooting fire.
It's a very valid question. All right, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors next Friday. This Friday coming, Cam Shuey. Tune in for that, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.